Listening Dog Media.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Offside Rule with Lindsay Hooper and Natasha Dowie, promoting women's football since 2013.
We are back for another week with the Offside Rule mailbag, although slightly different form for this one, Tash. I'm just going to explain that over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be launching a new way for anyone who wants to make a point, ask us a question, get an opinion off their chest. There's going to be a new way for you to get in touch. So what we've done today is we've gone with texts that have come in. So I'll read a couple of those to you, and we have got a voice note from someone else as well. But that's how we're doing it this week. Do keep an eye on @OffsideRulePod, which is on X, Instagram and TikTok, and we'll keep you updated when we have the new way of getting in touch. It's just going to make my life easier, basically, Tash, because I have to keep sieving through different messages on different platforms at the moment and then getting people to leave us a voice note. So it will be a smoother way of operating, I think, going forward. The first one that I've got is from Sammy in Isleworth, who, and I think this is quite common theme, actually, when there is something that's in the public eye, people want to get your view on it as well. And one of the big topics over the last fortnight has been about player coach relationships, and Sammy wants to ask what you think can be done to clamp down on it. Now, Sammy wanted to go out of her way as well to mention that she doesn't think that player to player relationships are an issue, and I think that's been addressed as well by Emma Hayes this week. She took back some comments, didn't she? So we're not talking about that, but we are talking about that power balance, which is player coach.
Yeah, I think it's something that in the past, when I first started my football career, it was really quite a common thing, because what tended to happen was because we weren't getting paid, you know, and it was voluntary, and you'd have a player that maybe would have a partner that maybe would need help coaching or would need extra numbers, so they would join in, you know, and that's kind of what happened back then. You know, I know lots of, you know, you kind of Keith Bonas with you, Pauline Cope and Mo Marley and Keith, you know, there's lots, you know, lots of kind of player relationships as coaches and manager. But it's more, even when I played in Sweden for Linköping, our manager left, we didn't have a coach. So I remember one of our players, her partner or fiance was a coach. So he stepped in and helped out the kind of situation. So I think it's something that back in the day was a lot more common because, again, they were helping out and it was volunteer, it was amateur. But nowadays we're getting paid, it's professional. You know, you're signing pro contracts. So I think now it's duty of care. It shouldn't happen. And I think moving forward, potentially this has to be something that may be signed in contracts. Truthfully, you know, I think maybe that's something that has to be added to the contracts of a manager and as players and coaches, you know, because I just don't think it's right, and I don't think it should be happening. So, yeah, I don't know your thoughts, Lindsay, but yeah, I guess that's kind of my feeling towards it.
I understand that the game has raced on in many levels and that probably there's a lot of catching up to do in different areas. But I think fundamentally the thing that needs clamping down on is that all of those examples that you gave when the game was more amateur and
And really, when it was more from a voluntary point of view and people wanting to do it because of the absolute love, there was no professionalization as such around the game. That only came over a slow period of time. I think that I can understand how that happened, but it was more with senior players and coaches. But what we have a duty of care of now as well is that we've got younger players. So from a professional point of view, academies and nurturing talent from a very young age, impressionable ages as well. And there's money and there's prestige, isn't there, at stake? You know, if you know that you can be selected week in, week out, and that's going to potentially help you and your career, you cannot say to me that isn't held over someone and it doesn't affect their decision making. You know, I had it in this world where I was once upon a time in radio, and the person that held the keys to me being on air was asking me out all the time. And I had to say to them, look, you know, I don't want to be with you like that. I don't mind being friends if you, but then I suddenly stopped getting radio shows, you know, and so it's such a delicate area, but it's one that has to have eyes on it and it has to be protected from above. And I think what we've got examples in some of the clubs and how they used to be, not necessarily anymore, but I'm looking at Leicester. There were a lot of interconnections at that club high up. There were family, there were people that were related to different people. And you think, well, where is the voice of reason, if you like, the person that's neutral in the middle that can be approached and you don't feel like there's going to be any backlash, you know, that you can do this in a safe environment, you can report things if you don't feel comfortable. So I think every professional setup, when you say about paperwork and rules, I suppose, that has to be something that's integral. It has to be there from the beginning at any professional setup. And that's right, the way down the leagues as well, by the way. What we don't want is to have this really safe environment at the top and it not to be at the grassroots level as well. So it's probably something from a governing body point of view that needs to be addressed immediately, I think. And this is a great, you know, when something comes to the fore like this has, it's a great excuse to, isn't it?
No, and I think, do you know what the most is sad? Because I think back in the day, I think it was very different. But even nowadays, I think it is quite a common thing. And I think that potentially it's been gotten away with for so long because there hasn't been talk about it. So managers have felt like they've been able to get away with it. Whereas now, it's heavily, the spotlight is on this, you know, and it's sad that it's maybe taken so long, but now there's no excuses. So potentially that it needs to be talked about more, it needs to be addressed more, it needs to be in the media more to stop it happening in the future. And I think it's got to the point where that is the case now. You know, there has been a lot of headlines recently with certain managers at certain clubs, you know, and I think now managers, you know, if they were ever thinking of potentially doing that, they can't get away with it now. You're going to lose your job, and too right, that should be the case. So I think it's good. I think it's good that it's spoken about and it's being publicised like it would in the men's game. Mm.
And one thing I will say is that there is every opportunity or there's every likelihood, I think, that you meet someone at work. You know, if you and I were to speak to our friendship groups about how you met, probably more than half of them would say, oh, we met at work. And I think if there's a genuine connection, there's something that's happened. But what you have to do is remove that professional relationship then. So the player either needs to move on. If it's a senior player, someone who's old and wise enough to make their own decisions, but you shouldn't then be playing underneath that person. Because also, what does that say to the rest of the team? It feels like there's favouritism, I imagine, if that was the case. Or the coach has to remove themselves and then to go and coach somewhere else is what I would suggest. But I'm not saying that there's never going to be a situation where people don't fall in love. I don't think any of us can control that narrative, but it's just about what you do around it, I suppose. So that's our first question of the day. Quite a deep, serious one for us to get into. Sammy, thank you very much. Rachel, who's in Durham, has asked us one about the Olympics, saying, who do we think is going to win gold at the Olympics now that most of the teams have been decided? I think I could speak for both of us, can't I, when I say we both think it's a shootout between USA and Spain, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I've got written down Spain, but with Emma Hayes now moving to USA, they would definitely be there or thereabouts. But I just think the world champions, they're so strong. I think it's going to take a really, really big effort to knock them off, you know, the Olympic gold.
Okay, well, to give Rachel something then, seeing as she wanted to put us on the spot, it sounds, Rachel, like Tash is going for Spain. So I'm going to go USA.
I do think that Emma Hayes effect. Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me if she walks into that and then first of all wins gold with them at the Olympics. And I think if there's any team...
It's going to be like a Walls versus Fence then.
Well, yeah, I think if there's any... Yeah, it will be. We'll have to... Oh, don't you try. She's trying to get her coffee back, everybody. But I honestly think that if there's any team that could upset Spain in the way that they like to play, it probably is USA. So, yeah, I'll go with USA and you can go with Spain. And a final one, which is on a voice note. Here we go.
Lindsay, Tash, it's Robbie James from the new Outside Centre Rugby podcast. Now, I've got a question for you, and it is this. What do you think are the best emerging leagues in women's football? I would very much love your thoughts. Thank you.
Now, if anyone listened in to the main show, we did quite a lot of coverage of Mexico, which probably you could say is an emerging league. Tash, I feel like you've put it on my radar anyway. But isn't it funny you get these questions through on the week that we talk about something anyway? But thank you very much. I think, are there emerging leagues, Tash? What would you say? If you were not going to go for one of the big ones, where would you consider? You probably have already considered them, to be honest.
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of emerging leagues. Yeah, I've spoke on another pod about the Swiss league as well. But I'm going to actually touch on Italy because you could say, oh, you see that as one of the top leagues. I still don't think it's a top league compared to, you know, your other leagues. And when I look at the Italian league, I really see it growing at quite a speedy race. I think now big men's clubs are getting involved. They're actually buying out former women's clubs with licenses so that they can go straight to the top league. And when I look at how the division was split into two this year, you've got your Roma, Juventus, Fiorentina, Sassuolo, Inter Milan, top five. So AC Milan, you know, I've really dropped off to actually, they're sixth at the moment. Not saying that's because I left, but no. So when you look at the league, you know, you've got some big clubs there. Yeah, and we can see how well Roma have done in Champions League this year. In the past, it was just Juventus every year. Juventus, winning it 5-6 years in a row. But now that top five are really strong. You know, Roma have now leapfrogged Juventus. Let's see what Juventus do this summer. You know, Joe Montemiro's been sacked, so a new coach going in there now, see what happens there. And then see if those Fiorentina, the Sassuolo, Inter Milan, AC Milan, you know, see now if they can keep up with Roma. So I'm excited to see how this Italian league is going to really kind of kick on over the next couple of years.
The thing that I always want to take into account as well when I think of speaking to loads of you guys who've played professionally and might be looking for a move, I always think about, well, one, climate, two, food, you know, things that are going to entice you to want to go over there to have that experience.
Yes.
And I think there is certainly a glamour, isn't there, associated with Italy,
Absolutely.
Being out in Italy. It's such a beautiful country. But in terms of your lifestyle, if you were to park the football for a second and just forget your form, forget the results that you got, forget the league that you were in, if you were talking to me about lifestyle, where were the best lifestyles?
Australia, 100%. Yeah. It's the Melbourne chai lattes. Yeah, I would say 100% the whole package. You know, playing in Italy, living in Milan, going to Lake Como over weekends, you know, but the language barrier is really tough. So I would say if we're talking whole package, you know, it's got to be Australia for me. And yes, it's far away, but I think if you haven't tried it, you have to go and experience playing over there. For me, that is, you know, the best lifestyle I've ever experienced. And it was my second home. So,
Okay. I would like to see home nations develop a bit more, you know. I'd love to see, and we are going to cover this on a future show, we're going to look at the Wales League in a bit more detail. I feel like we know a fair bit about the Scottish League because we've got some big teams and we've got some Sky coverage of that. But how about Ireland as a league? I would love to see it emerge. I mean, it's never going to rival the WSL, of course, but I think it could be another destination. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world, isn't it, to be an island? I wonder whether that could emerge one day, but I don't know enough about the infrastructure over there and whether there's just any finances behind it at all.
Yeah, but that's the thing as well as a player. I think sometimes players are quite, they're home people, they're homely people. They don't want to move too far away from home. So maybe Australia might be a bit daunting. Maybe moving to Italy and the language barrier might be a bit daunting. Saudi Arabia, you know, Mexico, all these things. So I feel like that home nation in Ireland or Scotland, closer to home, you know, family and friends can come and visit, that's definitely an added bonus there. So absolutely, I think that would be great to see.
And also, I'd love to see like a little cup where everyone gets involved. Ireland, Northern Ireland, Wales, Scotland, England. A bit like we had the Arnold Clark Cup for a while. And what was the Cyprus Cup that we went and did for ages? Because we won that one year. But anyway, I just feel like there's a little home nations tournament we could do.
I love the Cyprus Cup.
Yeah, the Cyprus Cup. Yeah, that's because it was in Cyprus, Tash. Anyway, we could be here rambling on about this all day because it's making me want to go on holiday. thank you very much for another week. That's the mailbag done and dusted for this one. We will return next week for another show. Until then, stay safe. Enjoy the football. Bye-bye.
The Offside Rule. Mailbag. Send us your questions on social media. We're at Offside Rule Pod. Sports Social Podcast Network.